Good morning, everybody, and welcome to the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. It's your friend James Shaw. Thank you for being here with us on a Monday morning. We do these two mastermind conversations every day in one call. So if you're on this morning live on Zoom, we'll do one call, then another call right here. If you're listening to the podcast, we'll do this front end, and then in about 20 minutes, we'll do a second call. And you just listen all the way through. It's good stuff, and I appreciate you all being here for 5.5 years to be able to have these calls. What we usually do is start with a question that has come up inside of the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group. So anyone who's not on the Facebook group, please join us in the Facebook group, Pivot Shift Ahead on Facebook. That's how you find it. And then we'll do something that's on my mind in the second half of the call. Let me give you a preview of what we're going to do in the second half. I think that we have a greater need to be reminded of things than we need to learn new things. And we're going to spend time this week being reminded of things by getting back to the basics, because the basics are never outdated. It says so right there in the shift book. And there are four basics I think that we could really work on that if we did, if we said, okay, for the next, few months, the last part of the year, if I took these four basics and really got good at them, all of your problems would be solved and you'd have an amazing business. And they're all things that you know you're supposed to do but struggle with. Today, it's the power of daily lead gen. Oh, but James, I know I need to do that, but it's a basic. And you don't really need to learn anything new about it. You just need to be reminded of how to do what you're supposed to do. So we'll do that at the top of the hour in about 20 minutes. But before we do that, I want to go into the Facebook group. And Sean Woods asked a good question last week inside the Facebook group that I think is a good conversation to have around inspection reports. Here's why. Buyer fallout, transaction fallout, is really at high levels, 15%, 20%. How many of you have had a transaction get canceled this year by a buyer? Put it in the chat. You've had a transaction get canceled by a buyer, sometimes over something silly or goofy or stupid or dumb. And it's annoying and frustrating. And of course, it comes down to us setting the right expectations. And so Sean asked a good question, and she knows the answer to this question, but she's again asking for help. But she says the inspection report comes back, there's no issues, but the roof and the AC and the water heater are at the end of their life. Now, a buyer's looking for a reason to get out all the time. So she says, how do you handle this? And I'm thinking, how do you explain it to your buyer up front? What do you do if they say, we want all these things replaced, which is likely unreasonable? What if you're a seller and you get a request to fix some of this stuff? I want to hear your thoughts this morning on dealing with inspection responses and expectations in today's market. Louise Weiss, you want to start us off? Good morning.
Hey, good morning from sunny South Florida. And yes, expectations are critical. I prepare the sellers and the buyers, depending on which side I'm on. Inspections, well, in Florida at least, our inspection period is also the right to cancel for any reason whatsoever, right? I prepare the client by saying inspectors are paid to find problems. We just want to identify if they're big problems or small problems, i.e., deal breakers or not. And then, as far as falling out of contract because of there are no problems, but the appliances are just at their useful life, I ask this question: Hey, James, do you know what the difference is between a 2-year-old water heater and a 20-year-old water heater?
What's the difference, Louise?
They're both out of contract, or they're both out of warranty. Are they still working? And then you can talk about a home warranty if that will make someone, if that'll save the deal. That's a good fallback.
It's just about setting expectations again and walking them through their options. And I know inspections have become that we're looking for buyers are looking for reasons to get out right now, a lot of them, and the inspection can be one of those, and we want to avoid that by setting expectations on the front end. Kristen McCall, you've sold a few houses in your lifetime and you've got your hand up, so I'm looking forward to hearing from you. Good morning.
Good morning. Canceled deals break your heart because everybody starts packing the minute they got that contract going. And I think buyers just are so insecure today, and sellers don't understand. We really have to educate them from the very beginning about not packing those boxes and making that deal good. Everything is a chance, and that's what we're dealing with today.
Crystal, how do you set the expectations with a seller that, hey, just because we're under contract doesn't mean we're going to close? And then how do you set an expectation with a buyer about maybe what's reasonable and what's not?
Well, I guess it's just discussing their motivation, the things we have to consider along the track, and how the inspections are. You have to prepare them for that inspection. We've had many, many deals gone before the deal can have a chance because the house just isn't going to pass inspection. And that all needs to be handled in the conversation before you get it on the market.
Thank you, Crystal. Hey, Chris, good morning. Your Eagles won. They also continue to false start frequently and get away with it, but that's a different story for a different day. Let's talk about inspection response and those expectations, Chris.
Well, and expectations are what we have to set, and we've already touched on it a few times here this morning. New Jersey is a state where we have sellers disclosures. I assume everybody has them, but I don't know. Sellers disclosures, and when somebody's really interested in the property, as I am working with a first-time buyer right now, and we went to contract over the weekend, we sit down with that document and we talk about the age of things. And I've learned in this particular instance with this particular buyer that I had to point these things out way in advance because we were interested in properties, but then we decided that the house wasn't move-in ready because it had a water heater that was 20 years old. And I had to settle him down a little bit, and he got away with the first couple. But right now, and the house we contracted on, I've said to him multiple times now, you are buying a house with 35-year-old windows. As long as they go up and down and don't have any holes in the glass, you're buying 35-year-old windows, and you negotiated at your price point to that effect. You know that going in, that this will be an expense in the near future. So, and just another way of saying prepare the buyer and just, cover this stuff in advance.
You're buying a used property, a used house, right? And not everything is brand new and going to work great. You're going to have things to fix over time. Terry and I were just talking about all the money we poured into our house and the time we've owned it since 2017. And it's just part of the deal, but we do have to set that expectation up front. I liked the Louise Weiss's. Do you know the difference between a 2-year-old water heater and a 20-year-old water heater? They're both out of warranty. That's a great response, just to again set perspective. Let's keep it rolling. This morning, we're answering Sean Wood's question about the inspection report coming back, and the buyer kind of gets whoop-de-doo and whoosie-doo. So let's talk about it, Dawn Little. Good morning.
Good morning. I actually had this over the weekend because I have first-time home buyers. They're very, very green. We talked about the inspection report at our consult, and we went to a house that had like a 20-year-old roof, and he said, "Hey, can we offer lower because the roof is 20 years old?" And I was like, "No, it doesn't work that way." I said, "Remember, I explained to you if you when you do inspections, because they're doing them." I said, the inspector's coming and they're looking at the house as a snapshot. Like, and they're going to tell you that the roof could be this old and to budget for a new one, but get a roofer to make sure. They're not going to go in under asking just because the roof is 20 years old and there couldn't be nothing wrong with it because we don't see anything right now. So they passed on it, but we went under contract with another house that they fell in love with, but they're doing inspections. And I told them the same exact thing. And we're going to look at it as when we're looking at it right there, because there's nothing. And then we'll talk about it after. We go through safety issues. We make sure there's no structural, no leaking, no mold, no nothing. And they were comfortable with that. And then I had another buyer that terminated just a couple weeks ago because we went in with an inspection and the water heater was leaking actively and there was mold and subflooring damage that we found. And immediately, which I've never happened before, the buyer was like, "Nope, let's go. We're done." And didn't even finish the inspection because it was going to cost a lot of money. She didn't even want to go in and ask for anything. She was just like, "Done." And that was the snapshot that I explained to her, and that was a safety issue. So she decided to walk, but we went under contract again. So it's not like, so I explained it all at the buyer consult to my clients and the sellers too. Let them know that this could be something that could come up. Tell
We
me.
have to set expectations. The other thing
Yeah.
on my mind is, let's do pre-inspections on our listings. Let's just get them, hire an inspector, Have them come out, figure this stuff out in advance if you're a seller, so you can either, you know it, you can fix it, you can disclose it, you can do whatever you want. You can do whatever you want with the information, but do it in advance and save yourself the headache that's going to come later, especially for some of those that Don just brought up. And Gary recommends it in Shift. That's one of the things he recommends in the Bulletproofing the Transaction chapter, which is chapter 12 of the Shift book, Seller Inspections. Dean Moss, good morning in Chicago.
Hey, good morning. In Chicago, it's Dean Moss, home of the soon-to-be world champion Chicago Bears.
Maybe okay. This year. All right. Pump the brakes, Dean.
And I don't want to get too excited. Thank you so much for the opportunity. I think the number one thing you need to do is everybody's discussing here, and that's pre-frame what an inspection is for. So many times people talk to their quote-unquote committee, which is their friends, family, neighbors, whatever it is, and they're told, well, inspection is an opportunity for you to renegotiate the deal. That's what they tell them. And they think that what they're going to do is they're going to ask for some money and get a better deal. So what you have to do is bring them down off of that and say the purpose of an inspection is to determine if the property condition and the health and safety aspects of the property are acceptable to you. So what you got to do in light of everything we found in the inspection, there's going to be a lot of stuff, is you got to decide, do you really want this house? I mean, just to ask them bold-faced that question, do you want this house if it's a buyer? Well, yeah, we do. I said, well, you got to tell me how much you want the house, and that will be determined by, you know, what you're considering asking for. So let's hit the highlights. Let's not pile on. If it's a seller, you have to explain to them that the buyer sometimes is emboldened to ask for things, and you have to sometimes draw a firm but nice line. And sometimes if you draw that firm, nice line with an inspection, they won't push it. You'll keep the thing, you keep the deal together. So it's a matter of communication, and it's a matter of pre-framing. So thank you for letting me share that today, James.
Dean, they want to know in the chat if you call them Duh Repairs.
No, we only call them Duh Bears. It's
when you get the inspection report back, Dean.
Inspection report.
Dean, the inspection report, when you get it back, do you call them Duh Repairs? Come on, yeah, that was good. Jolie,
I like it.
That one in the chat. Well done. All right, let's keep it going. We got a bunch of hands up. I want to get as many people in as possible. 11 minutes, rapid fire. Vicky DeLuca, go.
Good morning. I do at my buyer's consultation, just walk them through the expectations, letting them know that when we get to inspection, once we have those items, they have to be glaring items. We're in South Florida. Is it going to cause an issue for insurance? Because if it's going to cause an issue for insurance, then we have to negotiate and figure out how we can maneuver that. With regard to listings, I am doing the pre-inspection, and I just did one on my last, and the roof is getting to the, you know, end of the life, you would think, but the inspection showed, because we replaced the broken tiles, and they gave us 7 to 10 years useful life. So that made all of the buyers coming through comfortable. Yep. And I said, you put in an offer, I'm happy to share that letter with you. So it's just setting the expectations, like everyone's saying, thank you so much.
In Florida too, roof's a big deal. So the having that is going to be very important. Jess Starr, good morning.
Good morning. I think disclosing for the sellers are such a huge and important fact that they need to do. Something else that we like to do for our sellers and both our buyers is we call the local building departments and we ask them to share any open permits and closed COs so we can provide a list of improvements. We also ask the sellers to provide a list of improvements along with the year. So when we do the features and benefits list in the MLS, we have that provided, and we try to match it up with the permits as well. So if there aren't any permits pulled that say they had new, you know, roofs and new windows, we like to point that out and say you might want to pull it and even ask for forgiveness just so that we can have everything match and everybody is happy. That being said, we want to make sure that those are on there too for an appraisal as well, because it helps everybody. As a buyer's agent, you also want to check those things yourself, because if you don't have those things showing up, but they're listed as features and benefits, those are going to be really big red flags later on for other issues, like I mentioned earlier. So just all really good things. And when you're sitting with your buyers, make sure they have extra cash, because if they're doing 3.5% down or VA or any of those things, these inspection issues could really throw them way off if they're at the end of useful life and they're not having the, you know, they're going to go ahead anyways, even though they're still working, and I get it, But that furnace is at the end of its useful life in the areas where we have furnaces.
You know what I'm saying? What's a furnace?
Yeah, this happens a lot for us, James. I just had a furnace red tagged. So that means, by the way, when it's red tagged, you cannot use it because it is dangerous. It could be releasing CO. So if it's red tagged, by the way, that buyer would have to replace that furnace immediately or that boiler immediately. So that buyer would need probably 10 grand to replace that. And if they're like, okay, no worries, we'll do it whenever. Like, no, it's going to be cold. You'll have to do it immediately. Do you have an extra $10,000 in your bank account as soon as you move in to do that furnace? If the answer is no, then the seller has to do it and they have to disclose it regardless. So know your numbers, know your stuff so that when you're advising them, you'll either advise them to walk or basically force the seller to do it, or they have to walk. So that's it. Their loan will also make them do it too. So know your stuff.
And these are all the things we're attempting to avoid is getting to that spot, which is what we're talking about today. So again, expectations on the front end with buyer and seller. Seller, pre-inspection, maybe add a home warranty. I love Carolyn Ricketts and Choice for a home warranty. They've been great partners. She's an Inspire member, so they're great to use. I mean, just putting all the right things in play to try to help you out. Doesn't mean deals aren't going to fall apart. They will, but let's reduce that number. Remember, that seller wants to sell it, the buyer wants to buy it, so let's try to create a space for them to be able to do it. All right, we got 7 minutes left. I want to get as many in as possible. Jenny Hayes, go.
Good morning, James and everyone. I've been through this summer. I've had deals fall out, and then definitely expectations, like you said, with the buyers. If I've had a buyer, it's all your price is based on what is seen. If you know the age of the AC, you know the age of the roof, you price, you know, that's your offer accordingly. And that's what I tell with the sellers too, really working them down for that, like what you've always taught us, the under or just the competitive market price. And it's just been really hard when you have a buyer on the other side of a sale and they are using this as another round of negotiations. And so what I've had to frame the expectations for the buyer's agents this year, and I've had to say, look, I said, this is priced accordingly. The seller does not have the appetite to give credit or replace anything that's functioning. Bring your offer and price it accordingly.
Co-op agent, communication with that person is so vital when it comes to this. You don't know the experience on the other side. You don't know the expectation on the other side. So understanding that and sharing that, that's really smart, Jenny, which is why her business has absolutely exploded this year. Tanil, good morning.
Good morning. So definitely setting expectations with the buyer and seller. Like, we're looking for safety hazards, electric, water, foundation. Major issues. And then setting expectations with sellers that buyers are asking for closing costs. They are asking for repairs and they're asking for money for those repairs if you're not doing the repairs. I had a deal almost blow up. The buyers were first-time home buyers on my listing. And I was just giving scripts to that buyer's agent. We saved the deal. But I mean, they wanted everything on that inspection report fixed, and then they wanted $20,000 instead of the repairs. Mm-hmm. It was like so over the top. So I gave my 80-10-10 rule script to her.
What is 80-10-10 rule script?
So do you agree that no home is perfect?
Yeah. I agree. No home is perfect.
Right. So if the home is 80% of what we want to need, 10% of what we can live with, and 10% of what we can change, this is a winning home.
Okay.
And we're moving forward. So I gave her that script, and we were also talking about motivation. What was the reason that they were moving? And so I'm role playing with her. She's taking it back to her people. We saved the deal. But yeah, that conversation with her was so crucial.
That's really good. Hey, we're going to turn this into a better practices list so that we'll get this out. The stuff we're talking about on this pre-show today and this front half of the mastermind call, we will do as a better practices that we will include in our newsletter on Sunday, or you get it Monday morning. So you'll get it a week from today. We'll post it in Pivot and we'll put it in the newsletter. If you are listening to the podcast and you're not on the newsletter list, go to jamesdshaw.com, click join our free daily call. And anyone who registers for the Zoom, even if you never come on, will gets in our email system and we will send you the better practices list. We are wrapping up our conversation from Sean Woods about expectations around inspections. Brianne, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. So I'm always telling our, I'm doing the research ahead of time, even before we get into the house, specifically for our buyers, because it being in Florida, roofs are crucial.
Yes.
So you are able to find out most of the information on the age of the roof, the age of the ACs, anything that should have a permit should be in there. And a lot of, in our area in particular, 2006 was the big year for roofs being done under blanket permits because of Wilma. So now we have to go in and pay attention to that. If it's not catastrophic or a material impact on the home, if it's cosmetic, we're not looking at it. If it's something that's going to be on your four-point inspection, that's where it's an easy sell to the listing agent. Hey, it's on the four-point. I can't get around this. Help me out here. Aside from that, it's cosmetic. And I always remind my buyers, these inspectors are in your house for max 2 hours, 3 hours, depending on the size of your home. You will find things after you move in. Let's just pay attention to the big ticket items, because there are things that are way out of our control after you're living there for 24 hours and more.
Big ticket. You got to set the expectation around it. Terry, you get the last word. Good morning.
Good morning. So I had this both on the sell and the buy side, where my recent seller, they did the pre-inspection, which was gold, because they found the different things that they could deal with and disclose what they weren't going to deal with. And they realized that their roof was really old. And they said, Terry, do we tackle it? I asked him, let's find out how much it is. Because here's a key thing. Most buyers overestimate how much it's going to cost to fix something.
Yes.
And if they can redo all the carpet for $5,000 and you're going to get 20 more, that's great. And that's what happened with the roof as well. And then on the buy side, I love it. I think your inspectors are so key, because they have to be the ones that are not going to scare your people. They're not going to scare your buyers. They say this is a used home. In light of that, these are the things to look at. And so my inspector was able to talk my buyer off the ledge, and we were able to get expenses, you know, closing costs towards some things, but it wasn't crazy because the other offer was $5,000 more than us. So we were at that place where, you know, we're trying to really gauge it.
We have to remember that a credit, while it might be easier, is the most expensive option usually, right? Some sort of buyer credit. Hey, the buyer comes back and says, why don't you credit? It's going to be the easiest thing to do and likely the most expensive. And so having the right systems around that to save your seller money, but also make sure that your buyer is happy, all that stuff is really important. Sean Woods, thanks for asking the question. I appreciate it. I love it. Listen, I'm going to issue the challenge again, because not everyone's done it yet. Not everyone's done it. I want you to go into Pivot Shift Ahead this week. If you haven't asked a question this month, and ask a question, there is something that you could use some help with. And there is no question, you know, too simple or too complex. Go into Pivot and ask a question about growing your business, about better connecting with people, something that's on your mind that you could use a little bit of help with. Go into Pivot Shift Ahead on Facebook and ask, and let a community of 125,000 plus be able to support you with their expertise. Some of the answers will be garbage and some of them will be great, but you know the difference because you're a smart person. You'll figure it out. Hey everybody, what's going on? It is 8 o'clock Eastern. Good to see you. It's your friend James Shaw, and happy Monday. Welcome to another week inside the Pivot Shift Ahead Mastermind. We do these two masterminds in one. So if you're watching the live stream in the Facebook group inside of Pivot Shift Ahead, or maybe you're watching the video on my YouTube channel, you missed the entire front half of the mastermind that's available in two places: on Zoom at jamesdshaw.com, click join our free daily call, or on the podcast version. Any major podcast platform that you listen to, wherever you find your podcasts, go type in Pivot Shift Ahead and it'll pop up for you. You can ask your Alexa to play the Pivot Shift Ahead mastermind and she will. It's pretty cool stuff. We're going to have a great set of calls this week. I'm very excited about it. I was going through some stuff at home, and I found this little note where I had taken a note watching something, and somebody smart said, we have a greater need to be reminded than taught new things. And I looked it up. This quote's been around for centuries. We have a greater need to be reminded than taught new things. And I thought, well, that describes us. Because, sure, we learn new great ideas all the time, but this call is built on the basics. And I thought, what would we do if we just took this week and declared it back to the basics week? And that everything was something back to a basic. but a basic that you know and struggle with at the same time, that you realize is a basic and you know is important, but still have challenges fitting it into your day because everything else is happening and lots of other stuff is going on. So we're gonna do it. Today, it's all about, surprise, surprise, the power of daily lead generation. And you're like, really? Is that what we're doing today? Yeah, it's a basic, and I bet one that you struggle with still at times. So that's what we're gonna do. But before we do that, we'll do a couple of something goods. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, I have two quick things. First of all, last week, I had the privilege of doing Quantum Leap with Gary Keller for a day, and that was absolutely amazing. Learned some things I never even thought about. And number two is yesterday, I was up in Western North Carolina and bought some gift cards and money and just talked to a bunch of people. They're still struggling greatly up there. And the big thing they need is they need people to go and have lunch, buy something, bring a donation, whatever.
They are open and ready for people to come back, Frank, in Western North Carolina, and looking forward to people doing it. And I'm so thankful on how this community about a year ago showed up to really help out that amazing group of people. Frank, thank you so much. Janine Garcia, good to see you. You're doing well, yes?
Yes, I'm doing well. And last week I shared about a listing, what I learned here at the Pivot Shift about listings. Today I'm sharing about what I've learned at Pivot Shift about buyers. So we were struggling with this buyer, elderly buyer, because we couldn't find the right home. So we looked at different options, and then I saw this sign, Miguel and I saw the sign about a contractor working on a house. So I've learned this at Pivot Shift, off-market properties, call the contractor, and I said, you know what, I have an offer for you. And I said, how much do you want? 1.1. And I said, what if we send you an offer for whatever, right, amount? So we end up negotiating everything, and thanks to ChatGPT, and also, because number one is Pivot Shift, we end up detailing the reasons why we were offering less, because they're going to be saving in staging, they're going to be saving in showings and open houses and everything. And we also told them that they were going to save a 1 month of mortgage if they accept a contract before it hits the market. So instead of 1.1, we end up going to 1.50. Our buyers are thrilled. We're closing at the 10th of October. Everybody's happy. Off market. Where did I learn it? Here. Thank you, James Shaw.
I love it when you guys go from, you know, we say learn the play and run the play. And that's an example of you doing that. And I'm thankful this community shares with one another about how to get stuff done. That's a great share, Janine. Be well.
Thank you.
Let's get after it this morning. Would you agree with me that really, you don't need to learn a lot of new stuff? It's about tweaking stuff you already know and being reminded of stuff that works. And this week, I want to get back to the basics. In Shift, Gary Keller's Shift book, page 28, it even says the basics are never outdated. It's right here, bottom of page 28 of Shift, the basics are never outdated. In fact, I would ask, who gave you permission to get away from them in the first place? Like, what made you think that you were so smart you didn't have to do the basics anyway? We got to get back to the basics. There's four we're going to look at this week. Power of daily lead gen, seller pricing on purpose with purpose, talking about the fortune that lives inside of your database and your relationship with them, and then mastering the appointment so that when you go, you get it. What's the point of meeting with a buyer or seller and not taking it? You might as well do it. How do you do it? We're going to talk about it. But today it's really about the power of lead gen. And I think that we get in this space right now in 2025, sometimes we can get easily distracted with all the AI tools that are out there and all the stuff on social media, that we can forget that relationships will beat cute social media videos and great AI written emails every day. Now, cute social media videos and great AI written emails are great, but personal relationships will beat them. And that's up to you to be in a flow and have relationships. And you know what works in your business already. I'm curious though, what is it that you know works that you've stopped doing or got out of the habit of doing? Would you put it in the chat? What is it that you know works from a lead gen standpoint? It's worked for you. You've gotten leads from it before, but for whatever reason, you've stopped doing it. And we're getting easy stuff in here, right? Open houses, calling people, networking groups, cold calls, texting my database. This is all pretty common stuff. There's nothing in here that's like, oh my gosh, that's the most amazing thing I've ever heard. But we get out of it. So I'd ask you today to recommit. But I would say that if we recommit to the simple things that we know work, I'm telling you, and then you stay consistent in those things for the remainder of the year, you're building a pipeline for Q1 that might be the best you've ever had going into a new year. Let's talk about the power of staying focused on your daily, simple lead gen strategies that work and how you do that and what works for you. Vicki DeLuca, you want to start us off? Good morning.
Good morning. So when I started in this business, did door knocking. And then I don't know how, but I slowly got away from it. And I got so wrapped up in all the other stuff. And I have been now consistently door knocking. And it is about the relationships because I'm not looking for everyone that I door knock. I'm looking for those few people that I can have those amazing conversations and then nurture, follow up, provide value, and stay in their, you know, their mindset, their top of mind. And so that is making a difference for me. It's also filling my cup because when I have those conversations, I'm like, oh my God, this is so great. This is so what I love to do. And it's so easy. So that's it. Just do what you love and just do it consistently. And that's it.
The way to stay in tune with your lead gen strategies that work are exactly what Vicki said. Do what you love, but do what works too. You've got to love it and it has to work for you to be able to do it long term. You can do things you don't love and work for a period of time. You can do things you love and don't work and not get results. That's mistaking movement for achievement. That's mistaking busyness with business. We're looking for things that work and that you love to do. And if you can find those, they fit both of those parameters, then the chance that you will do it long term and somewhat consistently goes way up. Vicki, thank you. Kristen Jungles, good morning.
Good morning, James. So 2 years ago, I started working with my coach, and one of the first questions that he asked me was, you know, what's the one thing that you need to do consistently in order to grow your business? And I said, you know, the day gets away from me. Like I want to get my lead gen done and the day gets away and then it's the end of the day and I haven't done anything. He's like, then let's commit to the same time every day that you're going to do your lead generation. And we called it making connections. And the reason it's making connections is because that's what this business is about. It's connecting with other people. It's about deepening relationships. And we committed to Monday through Thursday from 9 to 11 Central Time because I wanted Fridays off. So I thought Friday could be earned, right? And Fridays hit differently for me now because I've been doing this consistently for 2 years. But at the beginning, I invited a lot of people to join me and I was the one showing up and I would take a picture and I would send it to John and I'm like, party of one today. And he goes, most important person showed up, get to work. And it was just creating that consistency because what I realized in those first 2 weeks, and it's hard to commit to at the beginning because I would go to an inspection, I would have a walkthrough, I would do all these different things. And the reality was I was just pushing off the lead gen. So once I committed to that, we next leveled it and said that every time that I'm lead generating that Monday through Thursday, the goal is to add one qualified lead and or set an appointment every day that I lead gen and making that non-negotiable. And that next leveled my business. I was able to, by the time Q1 came around in that first quarter of doing it, there was $24 million in my pipeline. And that year I closed $20 million of it. And literally I would say to anybody that's just getting started, like, who am I to close that, right? But it's just because it just grew because I made it a non-negotiable commitment. And the people that join us now on Making Connections are people whose businesses are thriving. Jenny Hayes, Nicole Romanek, ask those guys about lead gen. They show up Monday through Thursday for 2 hours. Does it mean that you're on the phone the whole time? No. If you want to choose to use that 2 hours to make handwritten notes, have at it. If you want to send text reminders for an upcoming event or, you know, that you're having, have at it. But it just, you're committing to doing that. It's 8 hours We all used to work jobs where you worked for 40 plus. So it's 8 hours of committed lead generation time and everyone's capable of doing it. But the number of people that ask me, oh, you're still doing that? All the way to the bank, baby.
People say that to me. You're still doing that call? Yeah. Yeah, I am, because it pays every bill in my house. That's why I'm still doing the call. The reason you still do the things you do is because it pays every bill in your house. Here's the thing about consistency. Consistency is the multiplier of what we do in our business, because, you know, one phone call or one text or one email is not something that brings you massive results. It's showing up again and again. That's what brings you massive results. But the truth is that consistency is really hard if you're trying to do it by yourself. It's not an easy thing to do alone. And that's why community matters. Because when you surround yourself with people who are committed to the same standard as you, you're not just pushing yourself, you're actually getting pulled by the other people. So while consistency creates results, it's community that sustains the consistency. So if you're struggling with consistency, I would ask, are you trying to do it by yourself? Because if you're doing it by yourself, it's way harder. So much harder to be consistent alone, because the toughest person to convince to do anything is you. You get in this battle with you every single day. But if you make a decision to show up in a community space, then it's really hard to not be consistent. That's why we have, by the way, these approved community calls that happen every single day. And sometimes it is a community of one, which is the toughest person to convince to show up, by the way, it's you. But if you go into the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group and go to the files section and just search links, we have Jessica puts the list for us together. Tulio's Jessica puts the list together for us every quarter. The new one's in there. It's about a month old that has the exact Zoom links to get on all of those calls so that you can do this in community. And you're much more likely to be consistent if you're hanging out with other people. Now, a side note on that, you can't search the files on your phone through Facebook, can't do it through the app. You have to go on your computer to do it. And we will put it in the newsletter that comes out on Monday, a week from today. We'll have it in that newsletter. But hang out with people. Bree, you're kind of the original person that did those. You didn't create them, but you were the original one to do that inside of this community. And your call that you created is still living on. You've created other leaders to help facilitate it. It's a really big deal. So Bree, you're next. Good morning.
Thank you. And yes, it's wild just to see even now how there are people that were on that original call that have spurned out and created their own power hours. And it's been awesome, excuse me, to see just how the business has shown up for them. Oh, also, go Panthers. So, yes. So what I feel like it is it's an everyday commitment and decision to go from entrepreneurial to purposeful. And before I said yes to being a team leader, you could not pull me away from my lead generation from 9 to 11 every single day, Monday through Friday. That was the only way that I had the best year in my real estate career so far, because this year's going to be lit. But the only way I had the best year in my real estate career and the worst time in my personal life by losing my sister. So when you focus on what you can control, get in a space where you're in the room, camera's on, because if your camera's off, we so easily can be distracted and be doing other things that aren't pushing the needle forward. So get into a room where you can be amongst people. And we talk about like the energy, that wave, like there's no other place that you can get together, all be doing the same thing with a common goal of help, finding someone that needs your help and getting out of the unemployment line. So it's for me, as I'm back into production, it is that daily decision of going from E to P. Now I broke through one ceiling, now I'm back at another one to get to this consistent daily lead gen and the follow-up. So as long as you can just even master the showing up of one and getting in a room of where people are doing the same thing, you will have done much better than you did yesterday. It's 1% better every single day. And there's no way that could happen on your own, because no one succeeds alone.
It's so true. Showing up's the hardest part of this, by the way. I mean, it's very cliche, but it's absolutely true. Just making the decision to show up is key. A lot of you in the chat right now are asking, where do I find this list of all the links? Again, go to the Pivot Shift Ahead Facebook group on your computer, won't work on your phone. Go to the files section, type the word links, L-I-N-K-S, and you'll find every call and every time zone that we've given a thumbs up to, and hop on one. If you're part of Anna Kruger's series. She's doing these also every Thursday. I think she does one of these. So participate in the opportunities that are in front of you and you'll be in great shape. We're low on time, so we're going to get to people we haven't heard from yet today. Lee Corey, you're next. Good morning.
Good morning. Ree, I have no idea, but somehow we spun off of your Power Hour and created a Power Hour. I don't even know how many years ago. But I got to tell you, if you ever want to be held accountable, just run with something and you are held accountable because you have to be there every day. When you asked, James, you said, what is the one thing that you've gotten away from lead gen? Well, being Power Hour every day, we stopped doing Popeyes. And on Friday, we had time in between appointments and I make up the Popeyes every month. And we stopped by three or four different past clients. One client we sold the house to in 2016, he came out, he was so thankful for the little tokens that we dropped off. And as we're walking to the car, he's like, oh, and by the way, we're thinking we're going to sell next spring and we're going to sell my mother-in-law's house. So that's going to be two sales and a buy. And it just came out of nowhere. Like, it's because we stopped by and we solidified the relationship. It's the face-to-face, like being there. And we didn't even ask. Like, it just, oh, by the way.
You're in a flow with this dude, clearly, right? You're his agent. There's no doubt about it. He was happy to see you. This is the thing I think we find. When we run into past clients or people we know and have a chance to connect with them, they're happy. They're usually happy. A Popeye, someone said, what's a Popeye? It's just when you stop by somebody's house and drop off a goodie. You guys were giving out, what, the bracelets I think you had or something is what you're doing. The Coreys do cute, simple, not expensive little things in the little bag. It's really cute. It's just a fun way to connect with people. Araceli, get the last word this morning. Good morning.
Good morning, everybody. For me, it's been getting back to basics by going to the office and lead generating with other people. And I've been doing it consistently, I want to say since July, the beginning of the month of July. And I started, it was just myself. There was nobody else. And then there was another lady and then the two of us. And now it's to the point that if I don't go to the office because I'm at a different location, we have two, I mean Henderson, then somebody will be, Araceli, what happened to you? I'm like, oh, I was at the other office. And now that the other day, somebody actually took a picture that I was actually in the Henderson office lead generating. And there was a group of eight people. And it's about just building that little muscle consistently. And if you have somebody that you can do it with, it makes it, you don't feel as lonely because it's hard picking up the phone sometimes, but having somebody else there to hold you accountable and then you hold that other person accountable, it makes it a lot easier, but it's just going back to basics.
That's what we're doing. The basics are not outdated. No one gave you permission to go away from them. The reason that you do go away from them is because they don't feel exciting and new and fun. But honestly, if you want your life to be great, you should be boring as hell. Just that's why we made the shirts that say be boring. I want you to be boring. I want most of your mornings to look pretty similar. I want you hanging out with the same people pretty much all the time. Is just be boring. Show up and do the basics that work. And by the way, if you do this call live on the East Coast, there's a reason why we wrap at 8:30. Because you can leave this and immediately go do the next right thing, which is jump on a role play call, do some practice yourself. Maybe you got to drop the kids off, but then you come home and boom, you're right into your lead gen time. Go do a basic today and see how it works out. We'll hear about it tomorrow. It's Basics Week. We are back to the basics inside of Pivot Shift Ahead because you need to be reminded more than you need to learn new things. And so we're going to be reminded all week. Thanks for being here. You got your inspiration. Go put in the perspiration and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye, everybody.